Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
You ever think your life could be this awesome?
So you literally get paid to travel, is that it?
A new fiction podcast.
There's this strange couple following us.
We need to know who they are. We need to go on the attack.
I told you.
Right, what's happening?
Tagged. Coming April 1st.
My husband and I are in danger.
Subscribe on Apple Podcasts to binge all episodes.
If I were you, I'd go back home.
Or listen weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
For travelers, we don't have a home.
Even the Rich is a podcast from Wondery that tells the jaw-dropping stories about the tumultuous lives of the world's elite. From the greatest family dynasties to pop culture superstars.
Listen to Even the Rich on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens, crappens,
crappens. Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today on this wonderful, wonderful day is the one and only Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh my God, look at my tongue.
What did you do to your tongue? Ronnie's tongue is bright yellow right now. It looks like an orange.
God, how embarrassing. I was making... what is it called? The white stuff, the white vegetable that's like broccoli, cauliflower. I was making cauliflower with turmeric, and I tasted one to make sure it tasted good. And now look, I've stained my tongue. So I've got Muppet tongue.
Was it raw turmeric that you just had? Did you have, like, what? How's it that yellow?
I coated it in turmeric. Turmeric stains everything.
Okay? Even when it, but like it was this? Cooked. Wait, did you eat it when it was cooked, or did you eat it when it was raw?
I ate it when it was cooked, but I tossed the. It was yellow. I mean, oh, I tossed the cauliflower and turmeric. Yeah, the recipe calls you did, so toss it in turmeric.
Oh, you tossed.
And so I cooked it, but it was still yellow.
Oh, I thought you meant that you tossed the cooked cauliflower in raw turmeric.
No. Before I cooked it. But still, it was a lot of turmeric, apparently, because I've got yellow tongue. So sorry, everybody, but that's what you're getting today. For two recaps today, you're going to get that.
Yeah. Today is Real Housewives of New Jersey, and we are on Crappens On Demand, which means if you go to Patreon, support us there on the Crappens On Demand level, you get to watch us record this video. You get to see Ronnie's big yellow tongue.
See my nasty tongue. That's so gross.
It's like a big yellow taxi, but in tongue form. And you also get access to our weekly
definitely,
bonus episode.
It's definitely given people rides in the past. Disgusting. Okay?
Disgusting, Ronnie. This is we
Stop
are
opening
like,
the door.
We're hours away from Passover, and you're going to bring that energy to the story of Moses?
Don't act like such a Passover.
So anyway, yeah, if you support on Patreon, you get access to our bonus episode to. This week's bonus episode, which will be going up probably later today, is all about maladies. And then also, by the way, this week we have a new Dwell Hello that's going to be going up. Maybe, I think it's going to go up tomorrow. It's really fun. It's a really silly one about some people from North Dakota who moved to Scotland. So we have a great time with that. And of course, we're going back on the road. We had some amazing shows last weekend. And then later this month, because we are here in April, it's wild. We're going to be going to Toronto, which I think is pretty much sold out. There might be like one or two tickets left. And then on April 22nd, we're going to Philadelphia, which we love going to Philadelphia. And then in May, we're going to New York City on the 11th, and then Washington, D.C. on the 13th. So those are both going to be enormous shows. So thank you to everyone who's already bought tickets to those shows, because we have huge audiences for both. And then in June, it's just like, then it's a marathon June. We're doing like six shows in June all over the country. So go to watchacrappens.com to get your tickets. I think you don't want to miss out, because then after June, no more touring for the rest of the year. So it's now or never. Okay. So that being said, let's dive into Real Housewives of New Jersey, shall we? Shall we do that right?
What a crazy week it's been for Real Housewives of New Jersey. My goodness. You know, both on the show, we love making fun of the show because it's ridiculous. So that's been really fun. But then all the pizza drama off the show. Have you been reading all the pizza drama, Ben?
You know, I tried to read about the pizza drama last night when I was watching this tale of about Dina and Teresa, or Louis and Dave, Dina's husband. And I was like, what's their pizza drama? And I did some Googling and I couldn't actually find anything noteworthy that it just all kind of kept repeating the same stuff. So what did you find?
Well, they shouldn't be calling this Pizzagate, first of all.
First and foremost,
because everybody is going to start Googling Pizzagate and become Q heads, okay? They're going to be QAnon crazies. So, and yes, I did call you crazy, you fucking QAnon people, okay?
That's fair. That's a fair thing to say.
It's like they're going to reignite that from New Jersey, which is hilarious if it just reignites from New Jersey because the show's so silly. But anyway, they call it Pizzagate, so don't Google it. You're going to find out a lot more than you really wanted to know. So one of it is one of these blind item things from Your Moms Are Watching that's talking more about the drama. Basically, it's saying that the Melissa, Joe's wife, niece's husband, her nephew by marriage, had a contact with a manufacturer in China. So Louis and Joe agreed to go through Melissa's nephew to set up the purchase of the pizza ovens. Okay. And Joe thought it was important to purchase around 10,000 ovens, but Louis wanted to start smaller. They agreed upon purchasing one container full of ovens, which would amount to 2,266 ovens. Each oven would cost around $46, and there would be an additional $3,750 cost for a safety certificate. So the total cost for the first container of ovens would be $104,802.50.
I'm sorry, where is this from? Wait, by the way, where are you reading this from?
Your Moms Are Watching.
Oh, Your Moms Are Watching.
It's like a blind item thing. So basically, let's get past the math here. Joe agreed, being on a train going north at 66 miles. I'm just kidding. Joe agreed, knowing he would have to put up additional expenses to get the business off the ground because Louis insisted on paying. Okay, so we know this is automatic. You already know who this is coming from, right? Joe, because it's saying, okay, well, he let Louis pay because he was going to pay something later. So I already don't believe this shit. So then there's this lady named Chrissy Balls. Oh, and I really like her. She's got purple hair. And I think this was a TikTok, but you can find her on the Twitter, Chrissy Balls. She does a video where she shows the pizza oven. Skinny Italian electric pizza oven is for sale for $139.99 somewhere. I don't know where this is supposed to be for sale.
That's a big markup.
We see the photo shoot. You see the photo shoot pictures of Teresa and the girls. So the girls really did do this photo shoot. They really did change the name of this company to Skinny Pizza Ovens or whatever the hell it is. And I just find it so interesting because I still don't understand the point. How did they lose the $250,000 then if they've got all these ovens that say skinny bitch on them or whatever they say, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about business to know whether or not it's crazy to say, hey, I've got this idea. I think this is a really cool idea that we can do. If you front the money for it, then we'll split it 50, like we'll split it 50-50. Maybe it's something like, or maybe like you, after your investments recoup, we split it 50-50. I just don't know. So I don't know if it's realistic to be like, Joe's an idiot for not putting up half also, because it feels wrong that he didn't put up half. But again, I also know that like, again, on like Shark Tank or whatever, people go in and they just ask for investment. I mean, it's not crazy to say, hey, do you want to invest in this idea that I have? So I don't know to what degree was this like a partnership they were embarking on, or was it an investment? I do know it's two idiots trying to start a business, and well, it's never going to work
thing,
out well.
You know, that's the thing. It's a show. It's a Real Housewives of New Jersey business. So nobody really knows the truthiness behind any of it.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's just fun to read because the internet has been going crazy. And you know, the show we talk about all the time, like the tree huggers versus the Mel heads. What would you call the Melissas?
Melissas, the Gorgons? I don't know. Or the like
the Melvies, like NV. I don't know.
The melanomas?
The Gorgons. Let's say like the Gorgons. Okay. So, like, the tree heads versus the Gorgons, the fights are just so funny, and they go for each other. They cut each other so deep, and it's all over this pizza oven, okay?
Yeah.
And also, it's not just a pizza oven. It's a pizza kit. So you're supposed to buy the oven, and then you order the kit monthly, like, hello, not fresh at all, basically. It's like, hello. Hello,
pepperoni. Red apron.
Yeah. And or like aprons are for chicks or something. You order the kit every month, and then it gives you ingredients to make the pizzas in your little pizza ovens. Okay. So, bunch of useless information? It sure is, but I've spent a lot of time enjoying people fighting about it on the internet, everybody. So there you go.
I think America dodged a bullet, because a lot of people would have lost a lot of money on these kits, because you know that, like, Joe was probably like, you know, here's the thing. Like, you know what? Like, Melissa, Teresa, they just get in the kitchen and they just will make these kits for people and just mail it out. It's easy. It's as if, like, it's a simple thing to do food delivery kits. Like, I don't even know how these companies do it. But I know that Joe and Teresa putting their heads together are not going to be able to give us, like, a good delivery.
It'll They're be like not the fire make a fest good pizza of kit. Pizza kits. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like, literally, because you know they're all going to start on fire, too. Like, no one went there and tested these.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. This is so Joe Gorga that it's just like, hey, I got an idea. Let's just, like, throw a lot of money at something and just we'll start selling stuff. Like, there's never, like, there's no, like, it never feels like they do anything, like, with any thought behind it. They just right. are like, hey, we're Italian. People know who Nono is. So let's just buy a whole bunch of pizza ovens on the cheap and just sell them and put Nono's name on it, and people are just going to automatically buy it. Like, why would that be? Like, it just doesn't work like that.
Well, it kind of does. I mean, it kind of does work like that.
Well, but people do, like, market research. They kind of, like, figure it out. They just, like, buy it
and try to sell it. It's like the housewives economy, you know? You buy it from China, you put your label on it. I mean, like, all the makeup brands and stuff like that are that, aren't they? And all the moisturizer brands, all the wine brands, and all
well, if they have an infrastructure.
One winery that makes all their wine, whatever, and gives them a couple of dollars. So I'm guessing it's something like that. But I also like how Joe words it, like, yeah, you know, my nephew's got a connect in China. It's called Alibaba, dude. Go on Alibaba. You'll find out your connect. Okay. No one needs permission from the nephew to do anything. Okay, I don't know.
I mean,
who gave this nephew so much power? Is he like the one in the family that knows how to use the internet?
I think so. I mean, I think there's a difference between a company that has, like, the infrastructure to, like, send out all the pizza ovens and the packaging, and they have a whole marketing plan, whatever, and then you just slap your name on it. That's, like, one thing. It's another when it's like, hey, let's buy 2,200 pizza ovens. And then just we'll sell them across America. Like, it's just like it's two totally different ways of approaching a situation. And one might make you money, and the other one might give you 2,200 pizza ovens to have around your house.
Yeah, well, it's the Gorga way, because remember Melissa Gorga's stuff with her store? She was being accused of buying stuff off AliExpress and then upcharging it. And so another blogger, another Instagram lady this week, who I know her, I think it's HW Historian, Housewives Historian, went on and was posting stuff like from the Alibaba site that Melissa was selling in her store for, like, maybe the pajamas were $20 and then Melissa was charging $220. And wow. It was all from Ali. You know, it's just like the Gorga way. Oh, and then they started doxing this woman and, like, putting out her real name and stuff, and then, like, coming at her really hard with cease and desist. All this is allegedly, okay? I've been watching too much TikTok is basically old person learns TikTok is what's happening over here at my house. So I've been down lots of rabbit holes.
Wow. Filled with pepperoni.
I've been down a lot of pepperoni holes, guys.
A lot of calzone holes. I just went on to my phone to see if I could find some information about this. And you know what popped up? Something that has nothing to do with this, but we are in the finals for Wondery's little, you know, like, March Madness of podcasts. So everyone go vote in this fun little contest that has no consequence in anything, just as cool to do. So yay.
Yes, it sure does. Those are big podcasts in there. I want to beat their asses. Go vote for us. Wondery Media, okay? Wondery Media on Instagram. Go kick everybody else's butts.
Yeah, we're in the
butts.
Finals. We're in the finals.
Yeah, that's badass. Like, I love that.
I
love that. And also come to my site, ronniekarem.com, to buy some pajamas for $227. Because I've just learned some business lately. All right, let's get into this recap. So last week on the show, basically, it was my brother, my sister. It was like the stupid fight between the brother and sister. Louis was all upset. And then Danielle got very upset because everybody was asking her about the fight with her brother. And it ended with Danielle walking out again, very upset, telling us that she was going to go nuclear on people. But then when she actually got in front of people, turning red in the face and literally putting her tail between her legs and moping out of the party.
Yeah, she's done this like two or three times now, so not great. So we're seeing things happening around New Jersey. Nate Cabral is playing with the kids. Marge is talking to Lexi's son. Marge is like, hello, little child. How are you? I've never actually encountered a small child like this before, so I really don't know what to do. Joe, say something to the child. Say something about how it swims or whatever.
Joe, hold still. Hold him still while I get the stem cells out of his lower back. Okay, just hold on. It's called a spinal tap, kid. Stop your crying. All right, stop your crying. So how was your swimming lesson, little human being with fresh stems?
Yeah, Joe B's like, yeah, did you sit on the side in your diapers like a little baby while the other kids swam? Did you do that? I was like, whoa. Like,
yeah. He goes, yeah. You can't shame a damn baby. You know what a baby sees when you're calling the baby a pussy? They see a big old person that's going to be dead soon. Okay? Don't try and shame a baby. They're winning.
Yeah. And then over in at Dolores' world, she's serving breakfast to Paul. You know this because Paul goes, oh, breakfast. So Dolores is like, you know what?
Hey, don't screw with my pot of gold.
You know what? You're not supposed to have coffee, Paul, but you can have one. Okay, you want your one cup now? God, a lot of breakfast issues in Dolores' life. And her mom can't have cake anymore. Paul can't have coffee anymore.
Yeah, it's
sad.
The childhood cycle began of not healthy breakfasts. And she's looking for it now in later life. I mean, you know, Frank eats fucking meatloaf for breakfast, right?
Like, I think he uses meatloaf as moisturizer. Just slams it all on the Delore.
Didn't she tell him, Paul, you're not supposed to have coffee, but you can have wine? I was like, that is so fucked. That is so fucking New Jersey.
He can have one cup of coffee. He can have one cup of coffee.
Oh, I was like, God, fucking Jersey. What is this, the Karam household in 1982? What the hell? So Paul's like, I need me coffee, please. And it's like, oh, you look so much better now, Paul. Your coloring is way better now than before your surgery. And he goes, I know, even though I'm not 100%, I'm one hot motherfucker. Hang on to your drawers.
Okay. So then, by the way, to be fair, like to not have like all your color back in New Jersey is basically like, sorry, the spray tan isn't sticking to you just yet, but soon your skin will get back into that.
You gotta be real sick to get pale in New Jersey. I mean, just going through a metal detector, they spray tan on you. You know,
I know.
Like you go through the 7-Eleven, it's like ding dong. Psh.
That's part of the doctor's check-in. They take your blood pressure, they weigh you, and then they give you a little bit of a spray tan. Just want to make sure you're ready for the doctor.
Wherever you go, you bend down to get water from the water fountain, and there's like a little that comes out on your face.
So Dolores is like, Paul has been recovering very well after heart surgery, but you know what? He has a very different idea of what a nurse should be. He likes to dress me up in a cute little nurse outfit. That's what he wants to do. Okay, you know what? That's where I draw the line. I say, you know what? Sure, I'll do it. I'll do it this once or twice or three times for you. But I drew a line. I drew a line.
He's like, well, you've done the woman's job of taking care of a man. And now I can't wait to do the man's job of peeing on the toilet lid. I'm back home, baby. And she's like, do you feel how hot I am? Feel how hot I am. Am I getting sick now? He's like, I'm so lucky to know how hot you are. Let's go outside. So they go outside and talk about the weekend and she starts tattletaling on Frank. I mean, Frank, look, I know in a relationship you're supposed to tell each other everything, but he's getting mad because you keep going and tattletaling about Frank having hurt feelings. Mm-hmm. If you don't want him to get mad that Frank has hurt feelings, stop telling him that Frank has hurt feelings. It seems very simple to me.
That's a good point. You know, Dolores, she's trying to smooth it over, you know? And she's like, yeah, you know, Frank's got very hurt feelings. He was like, this is the first year that you haven't stayed at the Shore House. I'm like, well, Paul is supposed to come and he wouldn't feel comfortable staying in the same house with you, mainly because there's semen all over this goddamn place. And I'm used to your semen, but he's not. So, you know, we'd rather be in Jennifer Aiden's all yellow house. Actually, no, we didn't stay there. We stayed with Rachel Buda. I mean, Rachel Fuda. You know what? I'm a mess right now. I needed that cup of coffee.
Listen, I told him at the luau, Paul would be as uncomfortable there as those poor focaccias are here trying to be shaped to spell Gorga, okay? Don't do this to Paul.
Nothing sadder in the world than a focaccia that has not been shaped into a letter or a crocodile.
Or an iguana of some kind. So Paul's like, he's really not letting up on this, is he? What is he trying to marry you? And she's like, well, it's just an adjustment. It's an adjustment for all of us. And he's like, Frank needs to grow up. He's got Brittany, who's crazy about him. You guys had a great relationship, but it's gone. Tell him it's dead. Tomorrow, the funeral. Be at my place. I was like, damn. Just stop telling this guy things. You're getting him all riled up, and he just went in for heart surgery.
But then Dolores is like, by the way, though, you also have a close relationship with your ex-wife. He's like, yeah, but she's not living with my ex-girlfriend. She's not calling me 50 times a day. And then Dolores tells us, well, I mean, she does call a lot. But anyway, Paul does have a good relationship with his ex-wife. They share two boys, 21 and 17. And, you know, Frank, you know, with Frank and I, our relationship is closer. But it's not like not everyone's going to understand it, you know?
Yeah. What a hypocrite. So he talks to his ex-wife all the time, too. So no fairsies. Then you have to stop talking to her, too. That's what I say. Or well, I just start taking them both everywhere. Who cares? Maybe she's as entertaining as Dolores's ex.
Well, I guess the difference is it sounds like what it is that Paul is saying is that he speaks to his ex-wife, but she's not trying to be an active part of his life. Like they talk about things, but
well,
like,
his wife she's isn't not used like... to having a shooting schedule. Okay. Frank is used to being on television and getting to be in nudie calendars to raise money for Marmadies or whatever.
Maimonides. I mean, Maimonides. I agree. I think that Paul, like Frank comes with Dolores and Paul's got to deal with that. That's just like, I'm sort of sick of these men taking on Dolores and then making her, she has to make all the changes for the men. But then at the same time, I don't know, I sort of do like Dolores drawing a line. I think that she's totally entitled to be like, you know what, Frank, I'm in a new relationship and I want to deal with this. You know, you've got Brittany, deal with Brittany.
No, here's what I say. If I was in couples therapy, I would say this. Paul, you have a very nice apartment. You're not very entertaining. Frank, you're entertaining. So Paul, you lose. Frank, do whatever you want.
Okay? Yeah.
Hope your relationship works out or doesn't. I really don't care as long as Frank and Dolores are both here.
Paul, we appreciate your commitment to a schmedium shirt lifestyle, but we are ultimately still going to choose Frank.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hello there, podcast listeners. My name is Justin Long. I'm an actor, but I also have a podcast called Life is Short. I've been doing it for a couple years with my brother Christian. We've been having so much fun, in fact, that we decided to do another one, a spinoff show.
We should say what the name is, right?
Oh, yeah, it's called Life is Short-er.
It's a very important part of this promo.
And that's my brother. That's him. That's Christian. And he, you know, he keeps me honest, and he is critical in a very positive way, I would say. He's a brother. He's my brother.
And I like to hit all the information. I like to hit all the points.
Yes.
And most important of which is the name of our spinoff podcast called Life is Shorter. It's a spinoff on Life is Short. So if you like puns and podcasts and brothers and us, then you might want to listen on Friday.
Yeah. If you'd like to hear more of this banter, check out Life is Shorter every Friday, wherever you're getting your podcasts, wherever you're listening to this.
So they have this talk. Paul gets all pissy. And he's like, you need a conversation with him. And she's like, okay, listen, I'll sit and talk to Frank one-on-one because I don't want to fight no more. Like Tina Turner. That's why Jen's getting a, you know, not an old school beating, but a sit-down lunch with me. We're going to sit down and we're going to talk because we're old school. We actually drove somewhere together once. And that means that I'm obligated to have a sit-down with her at least one time.
I'm sad about this. I wanted Dolores to really write off Jen for the rest of her life just because it's funny. When Dolores is mad at someone, it's just so funny. So I'm like really sad that she softened up. So she's like, you know what? I've been in the mindset of ignoring Jennifer for, you know, for a while now because it wasn't going anywhere. Okay, it was a fucking hamster wheel. You ever see a hamster on a wheel? It's like, why are you getting on a wheel?
Goes like this. You've seen a hamster
round and around. It's a hamster. It doesn't even go from the living room to the kitchen to the living room. You have to actually put a hamster in a ball for that. But a wheel? What the fuck is wrong with this hamster?
I'm a fucking stupid hamster.
Stupid hamster.
You know who I'm not taking to lunch? The hamster. Fucking idiot. So then we see Jen's greatest hits of yelling and screaming and having a fit. And she's like, and I heard from Jackie that her and Bill are having trouble. And you know what? I love them as a couple. So she's going through something. Enough time has passed. We haven't taken a ride in a car together in a while. Maybe it's time we shared an Uber or something and became friends. I just hope she stays calm. And Paul's like, put her in her place. Be Patterson to Dolores.
So then we go to Rachel Fuda's house, and her mom is there, like, taking care of, like, the baby. And Rachel, she's gotten a book bag for her daughter that says, like, Gina or Gianna or whatever the daughter's name is.
Gigi.
And she's like, I'm very type A. You know, I'm very regimented. Like, what's your toxic trait? Being a perfectionist. That's me. Like, why wouldn't I get her a personalized backpack? You know, and it comes with a bento box. And it also has, like, ways to... I don't know. She's very excited about this bag.
First of all, I don't know that getting a personalized backpack for your daughter qualifies as being a perfectionist.
Or type A.
We're typing.
I think it qualifies as being bored. Sorry.
Yeah. It's like a little pink backpack with high school lettering, like high school team lettering. And then she's like, and look, it's got this bento box for all your snacks. And she pulls out this bento box. It's made out of glitter. Listen, that thing has BPAs. And I'm just saying, you're putting your child at risk. I can see the BPAs crawling off of that plastic. Okay. And so Fuda's like, where's my bento box? And she's like, shut up, Fuda. All right. I'm trying to have a moment here. You know, Fuda and I have tons of businesses. You might notice from my open line where I talk about all the businesses. So now we finally get.
Finally, episode 8. We finally get
Fuda's businesses. Yes, finally. So they have their parking business. Okay. Their concierge business. What is that? Is that
they're
a whore business. No, this is hoery. I'm telling you. Look, this is hoery in the back of the fucking backstage, but what's the weekly newspaper in a local city? What was it? LA Weekly or whatever?
Like LA Express or something, or LA Weekly. Yeah. LA Express is like the porno one, and LA Weekly is just LA Weekly. But yeah,
there's something weird. But in the back, there's all the sex ads. Yeah, it's like concierge, call our concierge.
But they're like, we have a parking company, we have a concierge company for whatever you're concierging in, like, Franklin Lakes. And then they also have a tiling company and a burger store. So
someone's standing in front of the tiling company going like that. Like, Fuda's like, yeah, look at me, I'm in the tile. And then they say, when they show the concierge business, it just shows one phone with Rachel smiling like against a black backdrop, like, it's me answering a phone like a perfectionist. There's something fishy about this.
Something is very fishy going on.
I call hoery and money laundering. That's what I'm gonna
go with money laundering. This is not a typical business person's portfolio. Parking, concierge, tile, and burgers. Like, it's like an acronym at best. It's a mnemonic device at best. But, like, I don't understand that this is anything. And as far as I can tell, these are all John's businesses that Rachel just poses for photos with, right?
Yeah, pretty much. She just, like, looks really hot posing and weirdly and not very convincingly in photos. It's like they walked into, like, an abandoned hotel. He's like, go behind that desk and act like you're answering the phone. And she's like, I'm answering the phone. He's like, perfect. You look like a perfectionist.
I just want to know how many cars that parking company loses. Oh, sorry. We lost your car. Don't know what happened to it. Like, meanwhile, it's being, like, sent off to Newark.
Yeah, like, how many dings are on the cars that they park for you? Because we've seen food on this show and literally every time he enters the scene, they're like, food up, and he's drunk. So I do not want that man parking my car or making my burger, frankly, or concierging things. And I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, and Rachel's like, you know, we just do things very different. I come from a corporate background, and he comes from the streets. You know, he's more fly by the seat of his pants. And I'm like, let's talk at 3 o'clock. I'm like, corporate background? Yes, Rachel Fuda, she's just the next coming of Barbara Corcoran.
who's a regular Sigourney Weaver at the top of the mountain. Like, what the hell?
She's a regular Meg Whitman.
No kidding. So, yeah, I'm not really sure because we don't hear about her corporate background.
Yeah, where did that come from? What is Rachel Fudo's corporate background? I thought she was doing fitness competitions. I thought that was her background.
Well, I think that's a hobby. I don't think those people actually do that for their life. You
know? She has like an MBA from Wharton and previously was working at like Bain. Just like, and I gave it all up to work at a tiling / burger / concierge / parking company.
So the mom is there doing everything. God, we should all be so lucky to have a mom who takes care of the kids like this. Because the mom, who's Penny Marshall, is like,
yeah.
Should I go take Gigi to bed now? What should I do with Gigi? What do you want me to do with Peepo? What do you want? What do you want with Peepo or Gigi or Popo or JJo?
What about TT?
What with the kids?
Wait, can we have a refresher on who these children are? So there's Gigi, which is short for Gianna, right? Or no, is she just Gigi? And is the other one TT?
No, I think the other one is TT, right? Yeah.
So TT. Gigi and TT?
Which is also a way that you say you're going to the bathroom, right? Like for yeah. kids, you go, do you need to go TT or Tinkle? So that was a weird one.
Or they're ordering and then they two have... gin and tonics. Gigi and TT's?
And then they have Jaden, who is the teenager.
Jaden.
So now that's where we move now. So now she's talking about how she wants to adopt Jaden because she's earned it. Like, she's been the stepmom for long enough, and his mom's never around. This whole scene kind of skeeves me out. I don't think it's right to talk. I mean, I don't know what happened to the bio mom, or I'm assuming nothing good. I'm assuming it was like a hard life or whatever. This felt skeevy talking about this.
I wasn't skeeved out. I was into it.
Like you shouldn't talk about that. I felt like she was dissing somebody with issues. Even though I don't know that the lady has issues, I felt like it was weird.
I actually didn't feel like she was dissing her. I feel like she was saying, like, she's basically raised Jaden, and she loves Jaden, and you know, she's like, hey, I want to adopt. I want to adopt him because, you know, it seems like the mom is, you know, maybe unwell. But I felt like she was actually, I felt like she was honoring that, that it's like a weird position to be in. She said it was a weird position to say, like, to tell the mom, hey, like, this is what's going on with your kid. So I felt like it was done, you know, I thought it was done sort of respectfully.
I had a little ding go off in my head where I was like, beep, 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 like the backup sound that a car makes. So I was like, I don't know that this is good. And then she's like, well, I was so scared this girl was going to come back in his life. And the best thing for him is for her not to be there. And she talks about, she's like, I got maternal instinct. And that's more than a piece of paper. I earned this. I'm his mom. So now they've decided they're going to sit down with an attorney. And listen, I say you're really only ready to adopt your stepchild when you need it for a storyline. So maybe right. That's what it was. I was like, oh, what a coincidence.
I just felt like I appreciated this version of the storyline more than Ralph Pittman's version of the storyline. And now, of course, it's obvious why Ralph Pittman did not want to adopt Drew Sidora's son, because he wanted to leave Drew all this time. And now he has.
Well, who knows if he wanted to all that time. I assumed he wanted to at least stay with her long enough to sell his book. I mean, that guy's motives are very unclear.
The step in parenting.
Yeah.
More like the step out parenting.
Yeah.
Either way. So they're going to start going down this process of adopting Jaden. Meanwhile, we have over at Om Om Pizzeria, we have Om, Jennifer. Om. Om Om. It's spelled A-U-M-M, Om Om. The first pizzeria named after someone trying to figure out the words to say next. Om, Om. Om. Om.
It's like the beauty pageant question section, question and answer section. What would you do to achieve world peace? Om.
Om. Om. Pizzeria. So Jennifer Aiden and Dolores are having their truce peace meeting at Wom Wom Pizzeria. And so Dolores is like, hi, Jennifer Aiden, how are you? They're being very nice to each other. She's like, hey, mister, I love that dress.
And she's like, how are you, Jennifer? Love your hair. It's very old school. Now, I don't know when they showed this picture of Dolores and Frank, but they did at some point in this. Wow. Did you see the picture that they put up?
Oh, yeah. But that's been like the, they trot that one out every time that Dolores has a memory, they trot out that photo.
I love this photo. Frank looks like he's going to beat down your door to take back your rented furniture that you're like 2 weeks paying for. And Dolores has so much goddamn hair. I would hate to have been her roommate in that time. It's huge and bright.
Frank was like in the that look in the 90s. He like, if life had gone a different way, he would have been like a gay icon, a gay porn icon.
He probably already is. He probably is a gay icon. He looks like all those drawings where the guys have like the gigantic wiener.
Yeah. He's definitely Cult Studios-esque.
Yeah.
So
they're being nice to each other. And Jen tells us, in my mind, I thought Dolores and I were good friends. And I thought that having gone through an infidelity, that she'd be the first to say, Margaret, how dare you? But instead, it was you did things too. You're a little digger. And you want to say that's a friend? I don't receive friendship that way. Fighting didn't get me nowhere. So I find a way to move forward and not be friends at all, baby.
So she's like, so how's Paulie? How's your Irishman? And he's like, oh, he's better. You know, every day he's better. You know, he can drink a cup of coffee every day. How about that? You know, but he's got a long ways to go. Like a hamster on a wheel, stupid hamster. Where does he think he's going? You're not going to get anywhere if you're just on a wheel that doesn't go anywhere. Have you ever heard of that, Jennifer? It's ridiculous. Anyway, Paul likes you. So I decided I was going to make a truce, you know, because when we weren't getting along, he felt bad. Almost as bad as he feels when he reaches for that second cup of coffee and I say, you can't. It's rough over there right now.
Well, it's really good that you have a good soothing voice to calm you down now, Dolores. And she's like, what, do you think I like fighting with you? I love peace, okay? I love peace. And she's like, last year was very hard for me, and you and Margaret got very close. And she's like, so what? So what? I got close with Margaret. So, will you get on the wheel. Get off the wheel, Jen, okay? Find a ball. Get off the wheel into a ball.
Okay. Oh God. Anyway, enough with talking about the hamster. Okay, let's talk about peace. My favorite thing. You know what's my favorite? Nobel Peace Prize. They might as well call it the Nobel Orgasm Prize because that's what I do every time they announce it. Okay. So let's talk about the you and I. Okay. So you know, you think I like fighting with you, and she's like, well, you know what, mister? What broke the camel's back was last year. That was really hard for me. Riding on a camel till it broke its back. Do you know how difficult that is for the camel? Okay, Jen, you need to focus.
The way you spoke bad about me with Margaret, that bothered me. Oh my God, such a fucking victim. Jen, always, always a fucking victim. And you are lucky that Dolores has a calming voice because you're full of shit right now, okay? And Dolores is like, actually, I think I defended you quite a bit. She's like, no, you weren't. You were joining this shit. That's how I felt. Well, that doesn't make it true, okay? And she's like, there were times where you said Jen gets a pass from me or I defend Jen even when she's indefensible. Yeah, that's what you're asking from Bill. That's what you're asking for from everybody in a relationship with you because you are wrong so much. Now, granted, do I love when you're wrong? Yes. Do I think you're kind of leading this show at the moment? I sure do. Do I want you to leave? Fucking never. Okay. But you're wrong all the time.
She's always wrong. But I guess what she's saying here now is that like Dolores is sort of making little microaggressions at her, or not microaggressions, but like everything's like a backhanded compliment. Like, well, I defend her when she's undefendable. She's like, I'm always defendable. You know,
she does it like she does with Teresa, because Teresa's another one from the same cloth where they do the bad shit. They'll throw a table, they'll do whatever.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to, like, I rode in the same car with her, that's Dolores, you know. It's like loyalty to the end, so she can be honest and tell everyone else, yes, probably she's wrong, but I'm still her friend and agree with her. Don't fuck with her, you know.
Yeah. So Dolores is like, well, how am I supposed to know that? I had to hear it from other people. Okay, you should have said it right there. She goes, well, I should have came to you. I just didn't have the guts to come to you because I was so hurt by Margaret. So then Jen's saying that basically she let anger get the best of her. And Dolores is like, you know what? As long as we're here at Warm Warm Pizza, I want to call a truce. Okay, I don't want to fight no more. So moving forward, I will watch how I speak to you, you stupid fucking idiot. Oops, there I did it. Sorry, I'm apologizing right now on the spot.
So listen, the other day, Jackie told me stuff about you and Bill fighting, and I felt bad. right? And she's like, it's about the kids. So it's like I'm doing the job, and then someone comes in here and scolds me about how I'm doing the job. So we're going to therapy about it. And she's like, well, I would say to him, why don't you spend more time at home? Even though I have a feeling I'm talking to the answer right in front of me.
Well, when he is home, he just goes to the pool house. He has free time and he doesn't want to spend it with us.
It's like, yeah, I'm starting to see why he goes to the pool house. So she goes, well, I was lucky enough that, you know, when I was married, you know, I wasn't married when I was raising the kids. I was lucky. We lived separate. I was like, oh, that's. And most, I don't normally hear that perspective of it.
I know. I love that. I was so lucky to be a single mother. I can't even tell you.
I was so lucky not to have that idiot buffoon in my life when I was trying to raise our children. God, and it was great.
Jen's like, I cater to everything he wants. She goes, well, that's what we do. And she tells us, I got to the point of saying, you know, I'm sick of catering to you, but there's a lot of love in our marriage. There's a lot of love that me and Frank didn't have. There were a lot of couches Jennifer bought from China that Frank did not break into. Okay.
So Jennifer now does the classic Real Housewives pivot, which is like, okay, we've talked enough about like feelings. Let's just like pivot this into talking shit about someone. So she's like,
of course, you Margaret, know what? Of course. It's every lunch she ever has is to try and get everybody against Margaret.
Yeah. She's like, you know, I was just getting irritated with the dynamic with Bill. You know, there's something about getting older and wiser and not taking shit. You don't want to take shit. Like with Margaret. It's like, oh, okay. Here we are. Now we're at the talking shit about Margaret phase.
You can see I avoided it like the plague. And Dolores is like, you both should do that, honestly. And Jen's like, yeah, I'm so sick of everyone fighting all the time. They're fighting with you. What are you talking about? And Dolores is like, yeah, it's gotten so bad with all of us. I mean, just all of us. So Jen says, okay, so hear me out. I met this woman through Teresa, so you know she's trusty. She reads Turkish coffee cups. Oh, God. Okay, so already we know we're going to get a Tamara Barney gets a psychic to out Vicky's boyfriend for being a cancer scammer, right? That's the only reason psychics come on Bravo.
Yeah, exactly. So this is going to be a cup reading. And because Jennifer does not want to invite Margaret into her house, they're going to do it at Dolores' house. And Jennifer's like,
yes, you're gonna have the luck of the Irish with you. You got yourself a pot of gold.
So Dolores is like, all right, now simmer down. He only gets one cup of coffee now, so he's not that lucky. But, you know,
where do you think I got my opening line? Don't mess with my pot of gold.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then Melissa and Joe are at their hideous new house. God. Oh, my God. This house is so fucking bad. They're redoing it again. They're redoing it right
are
now.
Are they really?
That's another thing I saw. Yeah. They're, like, redoing the outside of it, and they just put down new floors. And, of course, there's discount codes everywhere. The house, and Melissa's the, like, guys, everyone's asking me where we got these floors. We know where you got them. Home Depot in the back, okay? The very back where the shit's on the discount. And you probably got them on credit, okay?
Yeah. That house represents what would have happened with those pizza ovens. It was like, oh, has a vague idea. Learned about like the urban farmhouse thing, the modern farmhouse somewhere on the internet, tried to do it himself and came up with a whole bunch of weird angles on a house, on a structure. That was what would have happened to the pizza house, the pizza ovens. So now Melissa's trying to act like she is like a tastemaker with home decor, which is hilarious because we all have seen those chandeliers and they're
hideous.
A blight on chandelier culture.
Yeah, they really are. They're like the giant Muppet. What's the giant Muppet's name?
It has like
walks really slow.
You know who I mean? Sweetums, right? Or something. Yeah, right.
Yeah, they look like him. So Joe's like, oh, hey guys, you like these lights? Yeah, because I don't know where you're putting the chandelier, so how am I supposed to know where to put these lights? Right? Right? And she's like, right there, and right there, like that, like that. And Antonio's like, oh my God, you almost fell, Dad. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to swing like Tarzan, eh?
Hey, let's go look at your room, Antonia. So they look at her room and everything, and Melissa's saying, she's acting like she's freaking Jeremiah from TLC or HGTV. She's like, I can finally see what the vision of what this house is going to look like. I'm like, I'm sick of living in a Disney prisoner's house. Why can't I speak today? Why can't I speak? I'm sick of living in a Disney princess house.
It does look like a Disney prisoner's house, actually.
Disney prisoner.
Now that you mention
it. Dismal Prisoner House.
That was an era that I'm ready, and now I'm ready for something modern and sophisticated and a little bit classy. I'm like, well...
missed on all points, ma'am. Do you know how hard it is living in a house where even the teapot calls you a tacky hooker? I mean, sick of it. I'm moving to Pixar. I'm moving to a Pixar house. So, let's see. Melissa, we look around the house, and Antonia has this huge shower. Melissa's jealous that it's bigger than her shower. And Melissa's like, yeah, now it's all sophisticated and classy, like my personality. So Joe's like, you know how hard it is to design ceilings, huh? Hey, what are we going to talk about? Teresa, we got to talk about something in this scene. And she's like, oh, let's talk about what a good person I am. I'm doing a pop-up for Danielle at Envy because I see a lot of her. I see a lot of me in her. You know, she's got little kids. She wants to get into the fashion biz like I got into the fashion biz.
Okay, Diane von Furstenberg.
Okay, ironing on Chanel logos to Hanes t-shirts does not make you a fashion biz expert, ma'am.
She literally is acting like she is like Nina Garcia on Project Runway, offering a grand opportunity for a struggling designer. It's like, you have weird furry things in your store. That doesn't make you a fashion maven, okay?
So then we go over to Danielle's house, and she's on the phone with Tree, and she's like, hey, Tree, it's me. I'm trying to figure out how many clothes you bring to a pop-up. How many clothes you got to bring to a pop-up? Huh? I mean, it's crazy over here.
Teresa's like, huh? And she's like, hey, what's going on? You know, you sound really stuffy over there, Teresa. She's like, oh, yeah, because so yesterday I was really achy, and I felt like my immune system was like went low, and I was like, oh, it's because I was so stressed out from confronting Melissa and stuff. I was like, I love that she's blaming her illness on Melissa. Even
COVID is Melissa's fault. Even fucking COVID. So she blows her nose, and Danielle asks her if they talked after she stormed out. Melissa's like, yeah, it was terrible. He said, I want your mother's number to invite her, and of course Melissa refused it. And Joey's like, I think you're miserable. And I was like, oh, you think I'm miserable? And I was like, you know what? I think the two of you is miserable. And then that's when they got up and left. And then Louis went outside to talk to them again. And then when he came back, he was crying.
And then we see a clip of Louis like, oh, I'm crying because they got so much pain inside. I can feel it. It reminds me of my sisters. I just got to call my sisters and say, I love you. I love you, Lisa.
He is such a piece of shit. He is so fake. Like, this guy is so ridiculous. Oh, I'm just crying right now. I'm just crying. There's so much pain right now.
And it reminds him of him and his sisters. So do we just find out that Louis also has people that he doesn't speak to? Or is he... Because he does speak to his sisters, right? Teresa loves his sisters.
I think he said recently that his sisters weren't talking to him when he was with a previous wife or something like that.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, God, of course.
People in this place, people on this show, like, just go. I cannot imagine not speaking to my sister.
It's just like the most ridiculous thing over such stupid stuff, you know? So Teresa's like,
I feel so bad for Louis. I'm embarrassed. And I feel bad for this globe because Joe and Melissa made a plague that we all had to live through for 3 years.
So the Gorga variant. So then Melissa's like, well, Margaret said when we left that day that Louis was sobbing. And Joe's like, what? Why was he sobbing? Why? I was like, why were you sobbing? Why are you sobbing right now? Do you ever stop sobbing?
You know what? He needs to fix one person, no one else. And that's why I think he's two-faced. And Melissa's like, well, he's trying. He's working on it. He goes, oh, come on. All this kumbaya and all this nonsense is all fake, okay? That's why it came out in the press about Dina. I mean, hello? And then we see a headline of Teresa Giudice falling out with Dina. And we find out that Louis got into a fight with Dina's husband, David.
Allegedly. Like, allegedly. We don't know if any of this is true. So Joe's like, yeah, Dina's husband, David, he called me because I'm friendly with David.
I'm friendly with David, huh? So Pizzagate part two, right?
No,
and he
no,
fucked up
Pizzagate.
Another relationship in Teresa's life. That's what he did. And that's what I look why I look at Louis like, shut up. You know, he wants to be fake. No, be real, bro. Be real.
Yeah, Pizzagate part two. You don't wanna that's not the you don't brand your spat that. It's bad. It's not what you want to go down.
I know. He keeps doing it. He's such an idiot. So what is he saying? That David invested in some business and Louis stole it? Or what?
That's what the allegation is. I think that's what I found last night, but I couldn't get any details about it. But apparently there was another business dealing that went bad between Louis and David. So
I believe it. Listen, just because I think the Gorgas are full of shit doesn't mean that I don't think that Louis is full of shit. I mean, that guy is completely, clearly full of shit.
Oh, 100%.
And then we cut back to Teresa, and she's like, this is my family. It's the only family I have. Oh, shut up. So Danielle's like, I know. Is it time for me to talk about you now? And she's like, no, because they're being like mean to him, you know. And I told Louis, you draw a line in the sand because, like, I don't want to hear about this drama. Like, I don't like drama.
And I'm so drained. Yeah. Then Danielle's like, well, luckily you can rest. Like, you don't have to go to this coffee reading thing. Like, I'll take all your feelings and I'll leash it for the both of us because I left really upset from Rachel's house. She took everything I said and went back and told Margaret I was talking so much shit about her when it's not true. The only shit we were talking about was what we heard from other people and that Marge has an arsenal of stuff on everybody. And I was like, hey, why am I looking like the bad guy when we were both in the same conversation? That's just like a catty, snotty little bitch move. Now, I'm like, you know what? I'm sick of this. So I went back and I watched this scene because when the scene happened, I thought it was a nothing scene. So I did not lock it into my memory. But I went back two episodes to watch this scene with Rachel Fuda and Danielle, but they bring up Arsenal for the first time. And you know what this scene was? The two of them were shopping to go down to the shore. And they're like, oh my God, wasn't that crazy at the party? How like Teresa and Jennifer were trying to be like, look out for Margaret, look out for Margaret. And they're like, wasn't that crazy? And they both were like laughing. And then, but then Danielle is like, no, but seriously though, there's this woman named Laura. And she says that Margaret has an arsenal. I mean, she has like an arsenal. You have to really be careful with her. And Rachel's like, wait, that doesn't sound right. And she goes, no, it's like, she's crazy. I would be very careful if I were her. I would do it. So it was not that the two of them were just like, ha, 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 laughing. Danielle was fully going in on Margaret, or at least trying to spread suspicions about Margaret. And Rachel was like, what? So everything Danielle is saying in this scene and all the other scenes is bullshit. That is my conclusion.
It is. But a couple things. One, you're talking shit with a friend. So you're talking shit with somebody you don't think is going to run and tattletale on you the second they get a chance, which Rachel totally did. But you're right that Danielle's intentions were not innocent. They were talking shit. But also, she's sitting here on the phone with Teresa, the one who started all of this, with Jen. They're the ones telling her she's got an arsenal. You want her to be. And Teresa's just sitting there like, like she's bored that she even has to deal with this. When she's the one who set this, she's one of the two that set all of this in motion in the first place, you know?
Yeah.
And Danielle is like getting herself all worked out to go yell at Rachel when the information Teresa gave her is what's getting her in trouble. So silly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I just want to clarify the record on that point that like Danielle fully was an active member of like perpetuating this, the arsenal stuff.
Well, Rachel's the one who caused all this, and it messed up me having to address everybody about my brother. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm sorry. They should have just said, sorry about your brother. She goes, well, what affects me is that they made me want to leave, because I'd never leave a situation. And it bothered me. That really bothered me, because I work hard not to let things bother me, and that bothered me, and I will never let someone bother me the way that bothered me. You're not going to get away with it. Nope. Never. No one's going to bother me.
Teresa's just not even paying attention. Teresa's already said what she had to say, so she's just like, I don't know, it's a new girl. I love that. Like,
I just wanted like a little caption that just says bothered.
I know. And like, I love this idea of like, I'm mad at them because they made me feel like I had to walk away. Like I walked away because of them and I'm mad that I walked away. I was like, what are you talking about? You didn't have to walk away. No one said walk out of here.
Yeah. So then we go to Dolores' house for this Turkish tea party.
And Dolores is like, Paul, I'm so excited. Can you hear it in my voice? There's a lot going on. Okay, listen, people who are working here, in case things go crazy with these crazy women, just keep making the food and make believe it's not happening. Okay? Just keep tossing the asparagus. Nobody's eating it.
And if you can shape the quinoa into some sort of monkey and or pelican, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, if you have any kind of gluten, you can turn into a life-threatening animal. That would be great. And so Angie, the Turkish coffee reader, played by Lauren Manzo, comes in. Am I supposed to be fooled by this? Do you guys think I don't remember Lauren Manzo? Because I remember Lauren.
So yeah, she shows up, and then we have like a parade of every cast member arriving and seeing their first ever modern townhome, because they're like, oh my god, this is gorgeous, babe. I've never seen this. They've like never seen stainless steel appliances before. They've never seen like floating staircases. Wow.
This is a nice damn place, though. Oh, it is my nice. God. It is. Yeah, it's really nice.
It's like the first modern, quote-unquote modern decor on New Jersey, though, ever. Like, it's like the first non-faux Tuscan, no swooping grand staircases and cheesy chandeliers.
It's not like an Italian restaurant in Vegas, so no one knows what to do with it. You know?
Yeah, they're shocked.
Yeah.
So Jennifer's like, you know, I've done a coffee cup reading so many times. Like when I had my coffee cup read, they saw the word Anne, okay? And Bill's real name is Nabil. So there's a lot that they can come up with. Like the letters N or O or T. I'm like, if you see a letter in the coffee stains, I feel like there's still a lot more that could be done in terms of future telling.
I feel like you need more than a letter. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, because so, N is pretty open. N could just be no. That could be the coffee cup saying, no, I don't want to tell you what I'm seeing right now. It's terrible.
Yeah, if I'm paying you like $50, $100, I don't need you reaching into a Scrabble bag and telling my future.
I don't need bananagrams, okay?
Right.
I don't need Wordle.
She's like, yeah, there's lots I can come up with, more than letters. So she told me about N and Angie, so why not? What better way to bring women together against Marge?
So, because we know that's where this is going, right? She's going to try and bring up this Marge gossip, which is so hilarious because she's stumped again. Like, she's all she wants to do is bring up this gossip without getting her hands dirty. She can't do it. Just bring up the gossip. Your hands are already dirty. You're already telling people about this chick, Laura. So just do it.
So then Rachel arrives. She's like, oh my God. Oh my God. And Dolores, you look beautiful. This house. Incredible. This is, you know what? The tiles of a question. Where'd you get them from? I'm asking. This is research. I can write off this lunch if you tell me about the tile work in here. And
Fessler comes in. She's like, hi, how are you? Wow, where am I? The Taj Mahal?
Not what I thought the Taj Mahal looked like, but, you know, it's exciting. Exciting to think that the Taj Mahal might have updated. Now it has an integrated coffee machine. So then Fessler's like, listen, I'm trying not to be jealous of Dolores, but it's like 50 Shades of Grey. Whoa. And I'm becoming desperate to find the red room. Okay. You just got fezzed. You got fezzed.
I'm so glad you wrote that line down correctly, because I wrote, I'm desperate to find a bathroom. And I'm like, that's what 50 Shades of Grey is?
Well, I don't know if she said red room. That was my interpretation of the Fezzler. Oh. So Margaret's like, hello, I'm here, I've arrived. Oh, Jennifer Fessler, here she is, gorgeous. You're also extremely shiny, Fessler. What's going on with you? And she's like, I'm not shiny, I'm sweaty. Okay, I'm dripping right now, dripping with jealousy and sexual frustration because of the red room that's downstairs. So I'm going to find that piece of shit room and masturbate all over it. Oh, I'm getting carried away, I'm sorry.
So Rachel's asking Jen, like, what's going on with you guys? You can totally trust me and I won't run right to Marge and tell her everything you're saying. And Jen's like, nothing's going on and I'd like to keep it that way. The only person who's starting shit today is a lady with some turkey grounds. And so Dolores is like, hey, are you going to say hi to Jen, Marge? She's outside. You just saw her out there. Marge's like, of course. I'm socially appropriate. Okay. I know exactly when to say hi to somebody and when not to say hi to somebody. So I'm going to wait until everybody's there. And then I'm going to say, hello, Jen. Like any polite person would.
So Melissa arrives and she's like, oh my God, this place, Dolores, you really hit the jackpot. Although it's strange, where are your chandeliers that don't have giant eyelashes on them? That's weird. So she's basically saying that Dolores is doing something right because Frank built her a house, David built her a house, and now she's in this townhouse. So if she were playing Monopoly, she'd totally be winning.
Well, David did not build her a house. I mean, I guess he let her pick the tiles in his house, but that's still his house. But I like that Mel is just jealous of, like, the decent remodels. She's like, Wow, she's found three different guys to do decent remodels. Good for her. So she's like, if we were playing Monopoly, Dolores is winning. I was like, even in Monopoly, your husband probably has, like, fucking colored money under the board, and someone is probably looking for him. Okay.
Community chests.
Yeah, the little police car is probably chasing around a little tiny dog that it knows stole everything.
The free parking space sponsored by the Fudas. So Melissa's like, wait a second. She's like, I just realized, Dolores, Jen, why are you guys throwing a party together? I thought that you guys were supposed to be fighting. I thought that's like our storyline for the season. What's going on here?
We decided to have a truce, and she mentioned coffee grinds. All right. So she wanted to have everyone at the party, but didn't think everyone would want to go to her place. So here we are at my gorgeous fucking home. Let's talk about it some more.
Yeah, and Marge is like, you know what? I know Dolores. Okay, she doesn't want to be fighting with Jennifer because she doesn't want any negativity. Okay, but she does. But does she really like her? Absolutely not. Does anyone really like Jennifer? Absolutely not. Were people won over by the spell of Om Om Pizzeria? Absolutely.
So Jackie comes, and Rachel's like, so has anyone heard from Danielle? And Marge goes, Babouge. She left in a huff when you were asking about her brother. I love that she calls her the Booze. The Booze. Yeah.
So Fezzer's like, listen, if you're going to open up, then I got to be able to tell you how I feel. And Jennifer Aiden's like, well, I think that she's just in pain, okay? Just, you know what? Like, I'm not going to be Inspector Gadget and ask her, hey, how and why? I'm not going to grow my legs to be 12 feet tall so I can go across traffic, okay? I'd be like, fuck you.
And she's like, I just know that when she told me, I wasn't sitting there thinking, what did you do to deserve this behavior, Danielle? And Marge is like, no one thinks she deserves it. Jennifer, nobody thinks she deserves it. Jennifer, nobody thinks that. Okay. Meanwhile, we see Danielle knocking and trying to come in the front door. I'm sorry, but Jackie has a point. When Jackie was so mean, it was like, it looks like she just got her clothes out of the hamper. That was so catty and rude. And I was team Danielle on that. But Danielle, you got to make some effort. You look like somebody who left the house in like 1986 in a white jumpsuit and like an ice cream truck stopped and just started pelting you with popsicles. You look crazy. What are you wearing?
And I never got to go home after that. I've just been following a trail of mutts, hoping to find my parents. So Margaret's like, listen, I was just agitated with it. Okay, like, don't go saying that I have like an arsenal or whatever. Okay, it's like, I was like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with that? So Jen's like, well, that's just the set that she had and not just from me. I'm like, she literally heard it specifically from you and Teresa.
Yeah, it was you and Teresa. Right. And so Margaret's like, you know what, Jen, don't be seeding this around. Okay, that's what you're doing. You're seeding it around. Okay, you're like Bill, you know, on a weekend alone. You're just seeding.
So Danielle shows up on the rooftop now. And, you know, Danielle's like really happy because I think that what has happened was that the producers called her and were like, listen, you're on this show. And if you walk away from another fight, we're going to have to demote you. Okay. So I think that she's like, oh God, I didn't do my homework. Okay. So I'm like ready to, I'm going to be there. I'm not going to walk away tonight. I have been losing sleep over the fact that I left. Okay. But today I'm going to be there and I'm not going to leave. I was like, wow. Huge personal stakes.
Yeah. Here's my conspiracy theory. I think that she was talking in the beginning of the season about her brother issues. She told Melissa the whole story. Like, you know, it was a problem with the sister-in-law, and I hate her just like you hate your sister-in-law, and you should fix it. And she opened up, and then she heard through the grapevine that the producers were already calling her sister-in-law. And so then I think she's like, I'm never speaking of that bitch again because I just almost got her on the same TV show. So I'm never going to speak of her again. And so the producers are like, oh, really? Well, just ask her about her sister-in-law. So they keep asking her about the sister-in-law because I can't see any other reason anybody would give a shit. Like, who doesn't hate their sister-in-law? I think so many people hate their in-laws. I can't imagine questioning anybody about that, you know? So I think the producers are like, well, ask her about it. And so they keep asking her. She refuses. And then she keeps leaving because she's half pissed at production too. But she doesn't know how to yell at production yet. So now she's in a pickle.
Yeah, it could be. Who knows? Life. So either way, it's time for the reading. Time for a coffee cup reading. So they go downstairs and everything. And before they go downstairs, Jennifer's like,
hey, listen up. Okay, all you pizza bagels, me and Dolores, we have some news.
And Margaret's like, well, aside from the fact that you guys just made up. Zing. Well, that was a big zing. Zing for you, Joan.
Teresa has COVID. Sorry, that was Margaret. Teresa has COVID, the Gorga variant. And she called us right before the party and said that when she was meditating, she envisioned Jennifer and me being in the wedding. And then we see a clip of that. And Jen's like, someone bites me.
I'm surprised she didn't pop like some confetti thing, you know, have like a marching band coming. We're bridesmaids, baby. So Melissa, of course, is glowering as if Melissa weren't asked herself. She's like, oh.
Well, she was asked, but she was asked like as an afterthought only.
In a bullshit way, right?
Right.
So Melissa, see, I said that because I was like, I know if I say Melissa was given like some bullshit, I was like, Ronnie would be like, but she was still asked. So this time I was like, let me cut it off at the pass and acknowledge what Ronnie's going to say.
You can't do it because I'm going to argue with you no matter what you say.
I'm going to acknowledge because I know that if I say, well, Melissa was technically asked, but it was bullshit and it wasn't really sincere.
You can't win with me. I'm telling you, how have you not learned?
I tried to acknowledge your feelings before. No. Before,
don't do it because they change all the time.
Okay, mine too, to be honest. But in this case, Melissa is just basically glowering like, oh, really? So you and Dolores? Like, she's like, you guys weren't even at our engagement party. And Dolores goes, I don't care, though.
I love Dolores.
I don't care.
I don't care what anyone says. I fucking love Dolores. She's love whatever, Dolores. Who cares? And Melissa's like, I know, but I'm like, what happened here? And Fester goes, well, she's also down a bridesmaid, so let's not forget that. We all have the internet. Girls, am I right, girls? Because, of course, Dina just dropped out of the wedding, and so Teresa replaced her with two people who she needed on her side, coincidentally, in this season. So the producer's like, do you think Dina being at the engagement party had anything to do with you not being invited in the first place? And Dolores goes, I'm not talking about Dina. Not ever.
Wow. Why? I mean, I still don't really understand why Dolores is so mad at Dina. I know that she's like BFF with Caroline, but it's a weird one. So Jennifer's like,
well, so she said it came to her in a vision that she saw us walking us down the aisle as bridesmaids.
A vision. like Teresa is the Oracle of Delphi all of a sudden. And just like, like,
oh my God, I had a vision. It was Jennifer all along.
So Melissa's like
a slot.
Yeah. This is obvious bullshit. So Melissa's like, well, Dolores wasn't even invited to the engagement party. Why? Because Dina was. And here Louie and Dina's man have an argument over business, and these two are no longer friends. And all of a sudden Dolores was all of a sudden Teresa was meditating. Oh, so convenient, that meditation moment. So convenient.
Yep. So now everyone's moshing.
You're an asshole, okay? Your brother's an asshole, and he skipped everything that he has been invited to this whole season as a fuck you. So what are you complaining about, okay? Just pick a lane, okay? Just hate the bitch and be quiet about it at this point.
True, but then Teresa's always the one who's like,
family, you should be doing this for me.
Yeah, she needs to shut up too. These two are taking up too much of my time.
They need to shut up. They got to take a ride up the Garden State Parkway and take an exit at Shut Upville. Ha. So then Danielle is like, she's like, you know, she's like, it's very uncomfortable right now. Like, it's like, you know, like when a cat goes into a situation, the hair goes up on the back. It's like, meow. That's how I feel.
Why is this cat trying to explain animals to us? Why? Does this cat think that they're the only people who have seen cats and hamsters before? Those are very typical household pets.
I just like the specificity that Danielle used. You know, like when a cat is in a fight and it goes meow, you know? That's how I feel.
Well, here's why I'm excited for Danielle, because like a cat can be, Danielle is feral. Okay, she really is, because she's like a wild beast. She turns to Marge and her mouth's totally full. She's just talking with her mouth full. She's like,
Sal, what was this about fucking awkward situation ever?
This is like food splurting. I'm like, now focaccia. This is a woman who needs to date Frank.
Okay? I know, focaccia spraying across the table.
Yes.
So Margaret's like, she's like, I know. Well, you know what? You stormed out in a huff. Oh, feels so good to be able to resurrect huff. That was my word for last season. You were in a huff last time.
Well, it was a very difficult position for me to be in, what?
And Danielle's like,
lucky for them, I need a little energy before I start ripping heads off. So we go ahead and eat, because you're about to walk into your heads ripped off. Just watch ya.
Which, of course, she never does. This never happens again. Okay? And she's filming all of these talking heads after the fact. She knows that she never rips anybody's head off. And she's still looking like the bit, setting herself up to be the biggest wuss, you know?
She doesn't understand timing, okay? Girl, you're walking away at the peak of the fight, and you're also, like, you're being set up to have your big fight, and you're like, hold on, let me just finish my food first. Like, that's not allowed on Bravo. You never finish your food before your fight, okay? You might eat your food ahead of the fight, but when the fight's ready, like, you can't be like, she's lucky, because I'm going to get some energy for my fight. It's like,
yeah,
no, Danielle.
So let's just eat. Yeah, that's not how it works. You're not supposed to actually go eat, okay? I know you're new
when they
here.
Say, like, when you say things like, I will eat you alive, it doesn't mean you literally are supposed to be eating at that moment.
Right. I don't even believe that's real asparagus. You're probably eating, like, nylon, mylar or some shit right now. So Marge's like, well, I'll tell you this much. The food is magnificent, and it doesn't run away. So that's nice. Like a dog. You know what dogs, you know what a dog is, right? You know how dogs run if you throw a ball. Yes, we know. My God. So Dolores has an announcement. She's like, we've been under a lot of stress, you know, what with all of us and our non-jobs and all the nothing all of us have going on in our lives. And we really haven't been out in a long time. So when Paul took me to Ireland, it was just so beautiful. We were in a castle. So let's go to Ireland. Like, I'm sick of embarrassing New Jersey. Let's embarrass a different country.
I know. So they're all going to go. And Ireland apparently is the bachelor party capital of the world. One of them says that. And then Margaret's like, you know what? You know what they always say? What happens in Ireland stays in Ireland. I was like, I actually don't think that's true. And if you ever watched Real Housewives of Orange County, you know it's actually the exact opposite.
And Dolores is like, and since I'm a bridesmaid now, I'd like to plan a party for Teresa. So let's put the other stuff behind us and maybe we'll have a different energy into the group. Not me personally. My energy's fine. It's all of you bitches. Okay.
Jennifer Fesler's like, I've been to psychics. Usually they hold my hand or close their eyes and summon spirits. They're not often looking into a cup of Nescafe.
Yeah. So Lauren Manzo comes in to read their drinks. And Angie, her name is Angie. And she's like, Dolores, I have to say this. Your cup is short and sweet. There's a ring on your finger. And Marge is like, oh my God, I got the chills. I got the chills. Oh, I'm freaking out. I got the chills. It's like a fish. You know when you put a fish from its bowl into a different bowl? It's like that.
Yeah, this is just one of the craziest things. I mean, I can't believe how specific this Turkish cup reader is really being right now. This is unbelievable. It's blowing my mind.
So then Melissa's like, yeah, she's living in a castle in Ireland. Someone will probably come remodel that for her perfectly too. Not jealous.
So now it's Rachel's turn, and Angie looks at it. She goes, okay, here's what I see. First thing that pops up is a big V. And Melissa's like, vagina? Actually, yes. This cup is in the shape of a vagina. Are you going to get a second vagina added onto you, Melissa?
Melissa's such a basic idiot. And Angie's like, in either 3 months or the next 3 years, I see victory. Okay, victory. Something significant. Really, something significant in 3 years? Wow. How much are they paying you? Can I double it?
I love that, I love that hedge that she does. In the next 3 months or 3 years, which doesn't encompass 3 months, something will happen.
At some point, something will happen.
Something significant will happen. So, you know, congratulations. The V stands for victory.
So, of course, Rachel's like, well, our family is going to court to adopt a stepson. And she's like, that must be it. You're going to win. So Marge is like, oh, my God, I love this. Because you know what? It's not her stepson. It's her son. And that's how I feel about my kids. We're very similar because I raised my kids. They needed me because their mom wasn't there. And it was the happiest time of my life. So it wasn't a problem for me. Okay, let's get back to it. My turn.
That's why I've stolen Lexi's child. So he's mine now. So now it's Marge's cup. And Angie's like, there's something with a friend of yours, a very close friend, someone. I see her as a child, now as an adult, someone you grew up with. I keep seeing the name. I see the letter L. And then there's a very small whale next to it. And another V. And another V. Okay, you know what? Stop it. You're reading my Wikipedia page and I don't appreciate that, okay? That's Vineyard Vines and it's a whale and I hate it. And the L, that's Laura. It's obvious. Wow, she really got me.
I see someone with an L. And then I see her stabbing Snickers creamer over and over with a knife in the back of the label, literally stabbing it. And she's like, oh, my God. Oh, she sees an L. How convenient, since Jennifer's been talking about my friend Laura every chance she gets. Wow, this is nuts. And then we see Jen taking a selfie with Laura, like, hi.
I know. Jen, who was like, I don't know how we should even meet with Laura at all. And then she's taking a selfie. She's like, hold on, I'm seeing something else. Seeing something else in the coffee. It is a beautiful house that's falling in half. Oh, Margaret, you are a homewrecker. I don't know. I just pulled that out of thin air. Thin air just had that idea.
So Fester's like, L, what could L mean? What could L mean, ladies? And Angie's like, 1 minute, there was a friendship, and then there was fighting. And Fester's just laughing. And she's like, I'm gullible, but I'm not that gullible. And Jen's like, oh, my God, my heart's racing. It's racing right now, guys. But something happens later where you rekindle the relationship. And Marge is like, never, 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 never.
Fester's like, that's not what the coffee cup says. So Jackie's like, this is so ridiculous. I mean, I know that I'm cynical, but like, come on, people. So now it's time for Jennifer Aiden's cup. And Jen's like, oh, God. Oh, what is this cup going to say about me and Bill? I want to know about my husband. Please tell me everything about Bill or Nabil. Oh, my God. Is it going to give me the N again?
So Angie's like, I can tell your husband loves you. And you're definitely about family. You want to spend time with your family. I see that people have offered you things or endorsements? Endorsements, that's what I see here. I see hashtag ad in your little coffee cup.
I am seeing here an email from a Dr. Judy saying you are past due in your payment for therapy. I don't know what that's about, but that's in there. It's weird.
So we see a clip of Jen being like, oh, yeah, I heard it through the grapevine. I'm much more in demand than you are. And Marge saying, oh, yeah, I can tell by all your endorsements, baby. And then Jen saying, my endorsement is my family. And so obviously this woman has watched this, right? Because she's like, yeah, I see that you are in demand for just endorsements.
Like it's so obvious because there's no reason why Jennifer has lots of endorsements coming her way. And the word, everyone's like, okay. And then Angie goes, but you turned all those massive opportunities and flowing endorsements down because you chose to be with your family instead and raise your children properly, despite criticism otherwise.
Oh, my God. And Marge's like, she laughs really high. She's like, I've never seen such a setup in my life. Endorsements, that's not a word you hear every day, okay? And Melissa's like, oh, my God. I'm embarrassed for Jennifer, and you've all seen my new house. And even yeah. I'm embarrassed. And then Angie's like, how old is your youngest? 9? You're just waiting for her to get older, because that's when all the endorsements start coming your way.
Assuming she wants to ever be a Broadway star again. Just what the cup says. Just what the cup says.
Oh, my gosh.
So Margaret's like, Jennifer, no one's endorsing you. You know who's endorsing you? Charmin, because you got 16 bathrooms and you're full of shit. Boom.
Jen speaks to you before this, Lauren Manzo. And Jen goes, are you serious, Margaret? Well, how else would she know in conversations? And Jackie says, you could have had a conversation. She goes, I barely know her. Well, you barely know Laura, and you're basing your entire next season on her. So
yeah. So, yeah, Jackie's like, I mean, how would she even know about the whole endorsement thing? And Jen goes, she's a fucking psychic. It said it in the cup, Jackie. Like the cup was very specific about endorsements. I like that.
And Jennifer's like, this is ridiculous. These women are just jealous because they hear I've got a future full of endorsements. And they're just salty. Salty like pink Himalayan sea salt, which is much more healthier than regular salt. Hashtag goes, not an ad. Hashtag yet.
Angie goes, I actually read the word endorsement. I'm like, so you mean to tell me, like a few years ago, Jennifer gets an N, Rachel gets a V, you know, there's like maybe a C in there, and then all of a sudden, now Jennifer gets the full endorsements in the cup?
Yeah, I'm now sure. Jennifer gets a full LinkedIn bio. Give me a fucking break, Lauren.
She gets ChatGPT in her coffee cup.
So Jennifer's like, it was in the cup. It was spelled out in black. Now listen, I'm sorry. I didn't want to insult you, Malloy man. So I'm sorry. Tell your mother. We respect you. And Angie's like, you know what? It's not okay. Not everyone has it in them to believe. And that's fine. We've still got more people. The lady who got a little bit of mashed potato and asparagus in my eye. What's your name?
Danielle. All right, Danielle. I mean, who knows? You know, people talk to dead people. So she can read some grind? Sure. Let's do it.
Danielle, I see your family being close. There's conflict between you and your brother. I see him in a wedding, but I don't see you there. I see you calling up the sister-in-law and saying, you better have a buffet at this fucking wedding, you fucking bitch. Otherwise, yeah, like,
hey, that's okay. That's enough. That's enough of the reading. I feel like we get the point. We get the point, okay?
But the sad part is that you both still cry about it. And there will come a day when you can make a connection in a peaceful way. And Danielle's like, whatever it is you hear it out loud, it still hurts everyone. It still hurts when I hear it out loud. And Jackie goes, well, I hope you guys do find peace. She goes, do ya? Do ya? And this is where Danielle's just ready to let everybody have it.
Yeah.
Let's see how this unfolds.
Jackie's like, 1,000% I do, because I know the pain of not talking to a sibling. And Danielle's like, what were you all talking about then? She's like, well, we wanted to know more about the situation with you. The way you spoke with me, the manner, the way you made me feel. Well, no one's saying that you're not hurt.
Marge's like, it's devastating. We get that. And Jackie's like, what I'm saying is that it's something that's missing from the story. We're just curious what it is. And Preston's like, I don't understand it. And that's the truth.
Danielle's like,
who cares?
Well,
who are you? She doesn't know any of you people.
All right, ladies, you better be careful, because I'm about to lay right into each and every single one of you, okay?
I don't get it myself. It should be a period. It should be a done situation. Period.
Yeah, I'm going to let that period. I'm going to say period and let that really roll through everyone. Let them sort of take in the shock of me saying period.
So then Melissa's like, guys, just let it go. And she tells us, I know what it's like when people are digging at you about your family. Melissa, we don't need to go back into your family, okay? Keep it quiet over there, Muppet Lamps. So then Danielle's like, can we just let it go now? Bing, bang, boom, boom, bam. I don't ever like to walk away. And you know, I was so blindsided by you, Rachel, that I was already done going into this conversation. I was like, right face, left face, kiss right in the face, nuts by this one. You know? Knock me the fuck out for what you did to me, Rachel.
Rachel's like, what? What did I say?
What did I say? Do we have to take this to human resources? I'm very corporate. So Danielle is like, she's like, you took our conversation and you made it look like it was all about me sabotaging Margaret, which it was, by the way. So Rachel's like, I was not trying to sabotage anything. I wasn't. She goes, yeah, you threw me under the bus. You know what it was like? It was like there was like a herd of wild elephants. You know, you ever seen an elephant that got a big, big ears and a long trunk, and they're very tall animals. They can move fast, but they can move slow. It's like, yes, we know what an elephant is.
We know what an elephant is. But she was explaining to me, because I was upset that someone was seeding, that I'm this horrible person and I'm going to hurt them. That's all. And Jen's like, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Just speaking her truth. Okay, whoever told Jen the phrase your truth needs to be put in prison. Okay, because Jen is the kind of person to just keep using that phrase over, and every time she's wrong, she's like, it's my truth. But it's not the truth, Jen. Okay, so of course Jen is laughing evilly and her veins are popping out because she's totally been caught through everybody. But still, nobody's calling out Jen, which cracks
right.
me. So Marge is like, well, it's not true. And for you to say evil things about me when I've been nothing but good to you. I mean, you're repeating it. And it was very upsetting to me. And that's all I'm saying about it.
But Danielle, okay, Danielle, did you not say what Rachel had said to you? And Danielle,
We was coffee talking is what we was doing. We was coffee talking. You know how coffee talking is.
Well, Paul can only have one coffee a day, so his talk is very short.
Marge goes, actually, you said conversating. You were conversating.
Conversating's a word. All right? You want to know how I said it?
Rachel's like, I don't care about this. She goes, oh, yeah, well, I do.
And everyone's like, Jennifer Fessler goes, whoa, don't let Jeff Fessler hear that. Okay, that would blow him away. So Rich goes, this is so beyond and like completely unnecessary. Like, I didn't say like, oh, Danielle said you're a piece of shit garbage whore. Okay, like just because I repeated something that you said doesn't mean that like I'm using your words against you. I'm just using your words to make you look bad. That's all.
And Rachel's like, listen, she's my friend, so I have to have her back to let her know what people are saying. And Fester's like, if I said bad things about Jen Aiden, would you tell Jen Aiden I said bad things about her? Hmm? And she's like, no, I don't think that I would, actually.
And Jennifer goes, she's not a shit starter, baby. That's her truth. So Danielle's like, listen, I try not to make a situation worse, okay? Do I maybe irritate a situation, exacerbate a situation? Yes. But do I make it worse? No. And what I learned from you that day is that I can't talk to you like that. And Rachel's like, literally, I don't give a single fucking shit. She's like, I don't care if you don't talk to me again.
And Danielle goes, oh, okay, got you, girl. Okay, got you, hear you, know that, got you, girl.
If you want to be on your high horse, go ahead. Hope you fall off and break your neck. It's like, whoa.
And Dolores goes, oh, my God, I've got a headache. Marge, the last line is Marge going, I can't take it at the second. I'm sweating from my twat. Bye. Just leaves.
Oh, so funny.
So we've got Teresa number two here with Danielle. She's really seriously coming for the Teresa spot.
She really is. So that's today's episode. Thanks, everyone, for being here listening. We'll be back with some Vanderpump Rules later this week. And we'll catch you on the next one. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Can't stop fanning over Tina Manning.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Undo your fasteners, it's Aaron Kastner.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Make it lastner with Aaron Kastner.
We want to hang with Liz Lang. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.